Hello and welcome to our latest podcast. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Janne Pukkila. I'm from the Russian Research Group from the National Defense University. And today our theme is going to be Russian research and a Russia seminar in National Defense University in Finland. So we will start about our today's podcast from our panelists, so to say. With me, I have our professor Bettina Rentz and researcher Jonna Alava today, and we are going to discuss about how to make Russian research and how we are doing the Russian research in National Defense University, and regarding our upcoming plans, we are going to discuss also about the Russia seminar, which is going to be held in mid-February. So, Bettina, welcome. You are our latest member of Russian Research Group at the Department of Warfare at the National Defense University. So, first of all, welcome. You are coming from University of Nottingham, and we are happy to have you here for the next 6 months. So, could you please tell us about a little bit from your background and how did you decide to, and how we were so lucky and we managed to get you as a member of our group here in Helsinki, Finland?
Great, thank you very much. Well, I'm extremely happy to be here. I think I'm the lucky one actually to get to study here and to work and cooperate with colleagues in the Russia Research Group. So, actually, Finland is the country I've spent most time in after the UK and Russia, where I spent a lot of time in during the 1990s and 2000s when it comes to studying, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. So I started off studying Russian language in the 1990s at the University of Edinburgh. I then wrote my PhD on civil-military relations in Russia during Putin's first term. So I started in around 2000. I was inspired at the time by the prominence of Alexander Lebed, who was a big figure in Russian politics at the time, and a lot of questions were raised about the impact of him and the role of the military in Russian politics. But I ended up writing about the role of the Siloviki, also with Putin's own background and so on, in Russian politics. Unfortunately, it has to be said that in the UK and the US and some other countries further towards the west of Europe, there was a decreased interest in Russia in the 2000s and the first decade of the 21st century. There was very much, when it comes to the study of the military, military reforms, capabilities, and so on, the focus on the global war on terrorism, on counterinsurgencies, on small wars, and also the perception, mistakenly in my view, that Russia no longer mattered or was too weak to really deserve academic attention. And this, of course, was not the case in Finland, where people always maintained, for obvious reason, an interest in the Russian military and in Russia as a neighboring state. So I always, from the beginning, continued working with colleagues in Finland, and obviously there was an interest here in my research as well. I quite often, about 20 years ago already, presented at the Aleksanteri Institute, and actually I looked it up, and the first lecture I ever gave at the Finnish National Defense University was in 2013, where I talked about Russian military modernization. Then later in 2015-16, I worked on a project on Russia and hybrid warfare funded by the Finnish Prime Minister's Office's research fund together with my colleague Hannah Smith. And it was also then when I met other researchers here at the FNDU and the Russia Research Group, or who work here now, like Katri Pinoniemi and Simo Pesu and so on. So when the opportunity came up to come here as a visiting professor, it certainly didn't take much persuading, and I absolutely jumped at the chance, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, thank you. It was a nice introduction to you and Finland, how Finland and you belong together for a long time already. And as I said, we are really happy to have you here, and we are waiting for a lot from this cooperation, and of course we are happy to give you some points of view from our side. But what has been your background regarding the Russian research, and what's your speciality regarding the Russian research? what's your, let's say, main theme which you like to express all the time and everywhere, or is it overall Russia and Russian military?
So I would say overall my central interest is the role of the Russian military, and I include here not just the regular armed forces, but I've also looked at the FSB, SVR, and other parts of the Russian security sector, and their role as an instrument of state power or state politics. So within that overall interest, I'm particularly interested in military reforms and military modernization. Again, we can't just look at the military and look at, what kind of technology do they have and so on, how many soldiers do they have, but of course they have this for a reason. So why does Russia have the military it has? In connection to that, also interested in concepts and strategic vision. Again, how does Russia view its role in the world? What does that mean for the kind of military it wants and needs and so on? So obviously I do not come from a military background. I know I can distinguish between tactics and operations and strategy, but obviously I think I can contribute to the more strategic and political level of this kind of discussions. Also civil-military relations I'm very interested in. Again, I look at war from a Clausewitzian perspective. War is a social activity where we cannot understand the military or warfare just by looking at the military itself. We need to understand the state, society, with the relationship between society and the armed forces, the political leadership and the armed forces, and so on. And increasingly, I've developed an interest in connection to all of this in the sources of military effectiveness. So again, you are aware that there has been a big discussion after the invasion of Ukraine in 2022 started about why so many people seem to have got the Russian military wrong and so on. So again, I think the explanations there are that too many people try to understand the military or the Russian military just by looking at the military itself and disregarding a lot of other issues. The approach to my research, so on the one hand, is of course interdisciplinary Russian area study. So, in the past, going, of course, to the country and speaking to people, that's no longer possible, but using also Russian, as much as possible, Russian sources that we still have access to. And obviously, there's a lot of that here at the FNDU also that I use. But that in combination with strategic studies. So I combine the area studies approach with contemporary thinking on strategy and warfare. I think that's important, then again, to explain the idiosyncrasies of developments in Russia to Western military thinkers and Western military practitioners and so on, to put it into a language understandable.
Yeah, thank you. I think nowadays it's really important to have the Russian research, and as we have noticed that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has increased the importance of all kind of Russian research. So it's good to hear that we have that kind of approach from your side, which we can now use in our teaching and, of course, in the research programs. But what are your expectations while you are working with us here in Helsinki? What are you expecting to gain or actually give to the community?
Thank you. So I hope to both gain and also give, of course. So it's a huge privilege to work with the Russia Research Group. There are not that many places elsewhere where there's such a concentration of people who know Russia so well, speak obviously the language really well, much better than me in most cases, and have spent a lot of time there. And also importantly, as I mentioned before, in Finland, that institutional understanding and memory of Russia and relations with Russia and Russian motivations and so on has never really disappeared. So there is a lot of knowledge here, people that can put also developments in Russia today into the historical context, because they have been looking at the country over a long period of time and so on. So what I'm hoping from the point of view of gaining is obviously through cooperation and discussion with colleagues here to strengthen my own research, as I mentioned, also to use library resources, which are really amazing. In terms of giving, of course, also I probably still have a different perspective that I hopefully will bring in, have focused on different areas. In terms of research, what I'm writing here, and where obviously the Russia Research Group will be fully acknowledged as my second book on the Russian military going forward. Also, I will contribute, of course, to the Russia seminar in mid-February, where I will talk about civil-military relations and in particular the lessons that hadn't been taken into account from the comparative literature before the annexation, before the invasion or the start of the big war in February 2022, and what we can learn from that, from things we hadn't studied before about going forward, about studying a Russian civil-military relations. I will also, of course, write a paper. I will continue discussing with colleagues here how else I can contribute to the research. And obviously, I'm also hoping to be involved in the teaching that is taking place here. I will be giving, already one lecture was agreed on some broader strategic aspects. I also teach strategic studies, not specifically regarding Russia in March, and hopefully more opportunities will come up here.
Great to hear. you mentioned about our Russian seminar, and you mentioned about Ukraine, and as you also told that you are going to give the keynote speech or a lesson in our seminar. But how do you assess the so far made and let's say international research regarding the Ukraine war or the Russian invasion to Ukraine? Do you see that we are doing exactly the right research regarding the war of Ukraine, or is there something, let's say, overlapping issues which we are always doing, especially in Western countries or in Europe, US cooperation, or should we take the point of view from the other angle? Or how do you see the overall research which we have done, or the community, researcher community has done so far?
Yeah, it's a big question. Obviously, there is a really big debate about what Western analysts of Russia got right, what they got wrong, and how to take it forward. It's a difficult one. I think, obviously, we need to learn some lessons. I think there probably overall was an overemphasis, as I mentioned before, of the hard military issues, how many numbers of personnel, the technology, maybe also doctrine, and so on, which was quite well understood, at an expense of the more soft aspects, as they're sometimes seen in military capabilities, such as civil-military relations, but also personnel aspects. Why do Russian soldiers join the armed forces? What questions of morale and so on, the manning in that respect. Maybe also strategic culture, of course, people spoke about that before. It's a very, very difficult thing to study, but nonetheless, I think all of these issues are important to look into. At the same time, I think this idea that we can get it completely right, or we know exactly what we need to study to get it right, is problematic, because war and warfare is very unpredictable. And a lot of these issues are also contingent and cannot be measured as such. Like I don't need to tell you with your background, like motivation, for example, is not like something measurable at any, it will depend on the context, on the situation, and so on. So just as we now know what we didn't know and what we should have studied before the invasion in 2022, going forward, there will be other things that we don't realize now are important. And I think we can never fully overcome that, although we should, of course, try. And I think if anything good can be said to have come off, well, this horrendous and ongoing war, as far as we can talk about anything good, I think, like you already said, there are now more people interested in studying the Russian military and Russia more widely, more resources, hopefully also expended on studying this. So improvements are certainly possible. Another issue, of course, that was a problem, especially at the very start of the invasion, was our lack of knowledge about the Ukrainian military, of course. And again, I know there is more interest in that now. I also work on a small project that we started in 2019. But of course, again, even there, what we thought was significant then has changed quite a bit in the meantime with the ongoing war.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bettina. And now I think we will turn out to Jonna as well. And since Russian Research Group was established in 2017, we have expanded regarding the number of people, how many people we have in this group. And you, Bettina, you are, as our latest member, a really, really welcomed person in our group. But Jonna, you have been in our group a couple of years now, and you are like a researcher in our group, but you are also making a dissertation to Helsinki University. So how do you feel your job and your overall, let's say, study what you are doing while you are making your dissertation to Helsinki University, and you are as a researcher to a Russia Research Group in FNDU. So how do you feel your position?
Okay, thank you. Good. I do dissertation for University of Helsinki, and I get a degree from there, and I have done all the compulsory studies there. But at the same time, I have worked here in Russia Research Group, and this is actually my fourth year already. And I think this dual position has been a privilege, because colleagues here do military studies, and I understand all the time better how these military studies can support my own studies and vice versa. And I teach here about my topic, military patriotic education, and also about the Russian culture and mentality. And compared to like normal PhD done in one university, I think I have had more opportunities. I've been in different doctoral seminars and different civil and military conferences, workshops with different sectors of society. And as a research group, we have built international connections and traveled, and yeah, it's been a really privilege. And I have enjoyed National Defense University very much, and I had no clue about army or army culture before this. And I have been positively surprised how nice people are here and how everything works and how high-level research is done here. My dissertation is about military patriotic education in Russia. And it's not about the warfare, but more about the militarization and preparing for the war. And maybe it's about the civil-military relation as well. And I hope this kind of we could have this kind of positions more in the future to make more cooperation with the civilian military sides and institutions. And as Bettina mentioned, there have been a gap in research about civil-military relations, and this, I think these kind of positions could respond to that gap.
Thank you, and as I said to Bettina, we are happy that we have a lot of experience from different kind of angles regarding Russian research. You mentioned that your PhD theme is patriotic military education or military patriotical education, but it's also regarding about Russian military, Unarmia, and women in arms. So what can you tell us about that theme?
Okay, thanks. I think the whole dissertation project started when I saw pictures of Unarmia in internet. Unarmia could be translated as a young army in Russia and in Russian. And it's a military patriotic organization. And these pictures resembled Soviet pioneers very much. And there were very much girls in those pictures. And I found it very contradictory because women's rights in Russia have been narrowed, and at the same time, these kind of traditional gender roles were emphasized. So what is this all about, and why they need girls and in this kind of very masculine hobby? And 5 years ago, when I started, there was 100,000 members in Jun Armia, and nowadays there is more 1.5 million members. And they upbring new soldiers and militarize young generation. And Jun Armia operates in every school at the moment in Russia. And for example, the Jun Armia members educate Ukrainian, deported Ukrainian children in re-education camps at the moment. So they partly participate in this genocide. But Jun Armia is still just one project of this whole military patriarch system in Russia, which penetrates the whole society at the moment. But about the girls in the pictures, this team led me to write the second article about the Russian women soldiers, because I wanted to know what the state wants about these girls, and do they want more women in the Russian armed forces? And now I can say that no, that is not the case. But the main thing is to militarize women to support their husband and believe in Russian regime. There is about 40,000 women soldiers in Russian army at the moment, but they end up very supportive positions and face many constraints. There's a discrimination. And Russian army is, I could describe it, it's still, it's very sexist. For example, they organize many kind of beauty contest every year. But nowadays, I think in Russia, women's primarily value is in motherhood. And that is the deepest reason that Russian army do not integrate seriously women. And in Ukraine, we haven't seen any Russian women soldiers, which is a quite contrast to Ukraine. And there are women in Russian army and battlefields, but they are not in any dangerous or visible positions. I think the reason lies in the Kremlin narratives. Kremlin, Russia defends conservative world order and traditional values, which includes traditional gender roles as well. And this is all about the men's war. And I think fighting and emancipated women soldiers do not sit in these picture well. But I don't know, Russia need new soldiers desperately, and they may recruit women to the battlefields as well, but before that they must change these narratives to legitimate the use of women.
Okay, thank you. That's an interesting point of view, that really this old Soviet pioneer system has now changed just the name, but became as a UN army again. So it's a reborn old Soviet system, which they are going to, well, actually they started that already again. But on the other hand, you mentioned that it's men's war, in fact. But I would say that the war always causes some kind of effects to the society and the country as a whole. So as I've understood, your research is also concerned or making some kind of notes also to the society and what kind of changes has appeared within the society. So What are your observations regarding the Russian society after the war started in February 2022?
Yeah, after the beginning of the war, I noticed very quickly that the whole patriotic education in schools was transformed to support the war, and the military patriotic education became like mainstream and obligatory for all. And there have been many new like patriotic initiatives after the beginning of the war in schools. They include, for example, national anthem, flag raising. There are new propaganda lessons. Oh, okay, they don't say they are propaganda, but the content is that. And all history books are new, and they introduce this special military operation and explain that for new generation in Russia. And there are military training lessons, and in every school that there is a new post of educational advisors, but they are rather like political commissars. What they had in Soviet times, but never in schools. But nowadays there is in schools this kind of phenomenon. And in this year, they introduced school uniforms for all, and there's a new patriotic organization which aims to reach all 18 million underage Russians. So I have argued that this is not the patriotic education anymore, this is indoctrination. And I think the reason for this is that Kremlin fears new generations. And one reason is they want to ensure adequacy of new soldiers, but the main thing is to keep people silent and monitor them and oppress them to show ritual support for the Kremlin. And what we see in schools is increasing monitoring. There's denunciations and repression. Patriotism has become a norm in everyday life in public space in Russia. And thousands of teachers have left the country, and for many families, new kind of patriotic education in school was a reason to emigrate. And there is resistance in Russia, okay, in schools, I think in a broader sense, in society also. But it very quickly, after the beginning of the war, turned to the kind of silent form. So at the individual level, people can sabotage education and try to avoid it, but it's becoming harder all the time. And I think the content of the propaganda is not effective. And even the patriots do not like it because it's like it's boring, it's time consuming, and but on the other hand, I think the whole patriotic system has been effective because it offers a framework through which the state legitimates growing repression. And educational institutions in Russia are not free at any level anymore. And one respondent said, like, there's going on cold civil war in Russian schools. About people, I think people are scared and don't speak with each other anymore. And this leads to like atomized society, when it's very difficult to gather anymore and resist anything. And I think that Russia is not a totalitarian country in every sense, but there is a strong features of growing use of power, and and on the other hand, how people react and behave there. This kind of Soviet style, double thinking or double life, became a mainstream. And I think it's sad that new generation learn this model, and it becomes like a normal and norm.
So can we say that it's like double standards are coming back?
Yeah, exactly. And I think when people hide their private opinions, it's more difficult to predict the future. But this applies also to the those in power in Russia. So what we can say is like anything can happen very quickly or not. There could be a long stagnation also. But I think now the repression is only hardening in Russia. And there's a lot of silent resistance and dissatisfaction, but it's not related to the ongoing war or opposing the war, but something needs to happen and that could kick off kind of snowball effect in society.
All right, thank you. Let's say that I think we all need a crystal ball to make our predictions, and of course it's always easy to make, let's say, old-fashioned predictions and assessments, but to make a bold predictions, it's always a new way to make assessments and analyses. And that's why I think our upcoming sixth in a row Russia seminar, which is going to be held 14th and 15th of February, it's going to be really interesting event from that sense, because we are going to have over 20 international speakers, including also our own speakers and analysts from Finland. And 2 days, within 2 days, we are going to discuss a lot of topics regarding Russia. And the theme of the Russian seminar in February is going to be Russia's war against Ukraine and complexity of contemporary Clausewitzian war. So at the end, I would like to ask, what are your expectations regarding the seminar, and what are you expecting from that seminar from that sense? And do you think that we are going to get the crystal ball from that seminar, and how we can use all the people who are coming and gathering here to share our opinions and make our predictions for the future, regarding to the Russia? Bettina.
Oh, difficult one. Well, the seminar will be fantastic, like you said, that more than 20 international researchers in addition to people from Finland. I think this is the best we can do in terms of trying to anticipate the future, which in my view just cannot be absolutely predicted with certainty, because you get people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, who have different areas of expertise and views on Russia as well. So I think from this point of view, this is the best we can do to exchange views and explore plausible futures. I think, yes, the future, including of the war, actually, the ongoing Russo-Ukrainian war, cannot be predicted, because the history or the future hasn't been written yet. Things can happen that nobody might have thought of at this point, that maybe even decision makers centrally involved, including the Russian president or Ukrainian leadership and so on, haven't even made yet. So I think, of course, we should try. We need to think about how the future can or will or might pan out. But I think we need to be careful not to think that the right answer is necessarily out there already.
Good. How about Jonna, anything to add?
Yeah, I personally, I'm waiting to meet many Ukrainian researchers in seminar and to really hear their experiences and views. There's also many really fresh civil-military relation topics highly interesting, and I don't know about the crystal ball.
But, yeah, that's
who
the,
knows?
That's the million-dollar question always. Yeah, I think we have now discussed about the Russian research, and welcomed you, Bettina, as a member of our group. And also we heard about Jonna's interesting research and topics, and how you both feel the Russian research. As a moderator, I want to thank you both, and a very interesting discussion today regarding the Russian research. And for our listeners and people who are listening to the podcast afterwards, I would say that Russian research is, from the military point of view, not only the military topics, but it's a wider perspective research. And that's why we are really happy that we have this kind of people in our group. And as an advertisement, as a reminder, repeat once again, please join us in middle of February, 14th and 15th of February, when our Russian seminar, Russia Seminar 2024, is going to be held. And it's also available online, so you can listen and make your own predictions regarding the topics and the themes afterwards online. So thank you, both of you, and have a nice day. And all our listeners, thank you for listening and stay tuned. Bye-bye.